I was remembering a document that I read some time ago, several years ago, and they were talking about some research that some scientists had done and other experts. And essentially, they were looking at, they were really doing a study to determine where mankind originated. And they wanted to know who was the first, where was the first woman in the world from? Where was the first man from? They said they could not determine conclusively where the first man came from. But they said that through scientific study, DNA mapping, etc., they were able to determine conclusively that the first woman was from Africa. They said that based on the ability that they had to basically remake the woman based on what they found with regards to genetic codes, etc., they said that this woman was very tall. In fact, I think they said about 7 feet tall. And they said that woman was gorgeous. Now, I can believe that. And they said that she was the first woman on the earth. That's where all of the science led them. That's where all of their studying, all of their mapping led them. And they said this woman was gorgeous. I can believe that because you think about how we have so many very attractive males and females in the world today. And we're talking thousands and thousands of years of the corrupting of the human body, not just the human soul, but of the human body too. Thousands and thousands of years of the corrupting of the human body through any number of avenues. And yet we still have some very attractive males and females on the earth. It seems logical to me that the very first female who ever existed, who was made by God's hands out of the design of God's mind, would be beautiful. Just flat out gorgeous. And my guess is that man was very attractive too. Still in Genesis chapter 2, after God had closed up the place with flesh where he had taken the woman out of the man's body, and had brought her to the man, Genesis 2 and 22, the man said, verse 23, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife," united. I've been talking about the two worlds being made one, being brought together in harmony, in union. The two shall be united. He shall be united to his wife, heart and soul and mind. They are united. They are together. They think more like each other than the woman thinks like her parents. They began to adopt ways that work for them rather than the man insisting on bringing all of his family's practices into his new household with his wife. No, they talk and they unite. They develop similar ways, similar patterns of behavior. They began to develop similar attitudes and approaches and outlooks on life. The man will leave his father, the first man said, and mother, and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. They will come together sexually. It won't be just the emotional and the spiritual and the mental uniting. There will also be a physical uniting that will be an extension of the spiritual, mental, and emotional uniting, especially since that physical union would also entail a spiritual union, an emotional union, a mental union, as their thoughts were completely on each other and no one else. As the chemicals in their bodies were flowing, those chemicals designed to help them develop a bond with each other. And they're not thinking about anyone else. Their mind is only on one person while they're enjoying this sexual, physical, sexual union. That person who they're with right then, right there. Because the bond would have been so pure, even after that moment of sexual union, that time of sexually uniting was over, they still would not have their minds start gravitating towards someone else. That's where we mess up too. Too many people, men and women, have someone else on their minds while they're having sex with their spouses. They have someone else on their minds before they and their spouses even begin to have sex. They have someone else on their minds after they finish having sex with their spouses. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. And we need to look at that. If the man is being united to his wife, then automatically the wife is also being united to her husband. The husband can love the wife and they still not be united. Because if she is resisting him, opposing him, pushing him away, they're still not being united. The legal document still makes them married. But as far as what's happening on the inside of them, as far as what's happening with regards to their world, as far as what's happening with regards to their life, they're not uniting. Not if she's pushing him away. Excuse me. Not if he's keeping her at arm's length. You can get this close and no closer. We can touch physically, but I have no intentions of embracing you with my heart. That's not the way it's meant to be. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to commit to enjoying sex, even in our minds, only with our spouses. Verse 25, the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. So God made the woman, brought her to the man, and the man saw his appropriate helper. His helper, one who would be proper and appropriate for him, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically. Her body contoured in ways that complemented the contours of his body so that they would come together sexually as man and woman the way God intended. And as God brought this man, this woman, to her man, this wife to her husband, the man saw her in all her beauty. In all her beauty, with that beauty fully revealed. She was naked. And he was naked. They were both naked. and not ashamed. So just as he saw her in all of her beauty, as she was being brought to him, she saw him in all of his handsomeness. Two people being brought together, two worlds, and in this case, both worlds pure, uncontaminated. Stay with me.